Is this thing on?
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. And it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just how everyone we never gonna tell. I'm stuck with all original, uncensored radio.
Hey there, everyone. What's going on? It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2013. I am Mike. I'm opening up tonight because Jeff was having a little bit of an issue with a smoke detector, possibly a fire.
Girl.
I'm not sure what. Are you okay? No one died?
Girl, well, you know, the SWAT team, the fire department, and the FBI is on their way over to see what the hell the problem was because I went up to the stairs and there was nothing. Nothing. There's no smoke. Nothing's burning. I think it's just right now in New York we're having, like, a really late summer. It's been, like, 90-something degrees with 100% humidity. And I think it was just the humidity getting pushed up the stairs from the, you know, the big air conditioner downstairs. You know, because that does happen. Like,
you know what they say. You do know what they say. Better late than never. It's like your period. Better late than never. You know what I'm saying? I'm here all night, folks. I'm here all night.
Ba-dum-bum-boom. And you know, Mike, what else? Like, Miss Ashley will be here relatively shortly. But you know who else we have? We've got Jim Bob Lips Hankins. How you doing, Lips?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Jeffrey? Other than your
I'm great.
Today.
Have you talked to Mike about your fascination with NASCAR yet?
What?
I am not fascinated with NASCAR. You need to get the fuck over that. Seriously.
Oh, boy.
Never.
Look, listen, babe, I know you're from the Midwest, and, you know, you need to like sports because I developed a healthy appreciation for country music and NASCAR myself, being in Oklahoma for several months. But, you know... I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it to me. Why? My dad loves NASCAR. I dated a girl in college who was obsessed with NASCAR. Yeah, he likes it. I don't know what it is. This girl in college that I dated, she loved NASCAR. Is it something about just watching people go around and around? Does it hypnotize you? Does it put
Wait,
you in
I
a trance?
I want to go back to the fact that your father likes NASCAR. How have we known each other since kindergarten, and I don't know this?
Well, okay. If he has a choice, maybe this doesn't make him a fan, but if there's nothing on a Saturday and he's, you know, in the house after doing the yard work and whatnot, he'll put on the race and he'll sit there and watch it.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
him and Vito have had something in common all these years. I'm going to go steal some of Vito's NASCAR hats and bring them over to him.
Oh, Lord. Well, you know, I take that back. When I was younger, he took me to a monster truck rally. So I think my dad does have a thing for, like, big truck cars.
Okay. Who doesn't want to go see? I want to go see a monster truck thing. Like, I want to go see him smash cars. My father, you know, he raced cars when I was younger. And you remember, Mike, he always took us to, like, stupid racetracks around here. Like,
yeah,
there were all these dirt tracks. But I hated them because the dirt, if it was dry, the dust would come in your eyes. And if it was wet, the mud chunks would land on you. And we were not really those type of men.
But if I did have to pick, I think I preferred the mud chunks as opposed to the dirt flying in my eye. Because when the dirt's dusty like that, you know, you're going to take a big old breath in and you're all of a sudden you taste
right,
the blood.
Right, it's just, you couldn't even watch. Like, and of course, he never brought me glasses or anything, so I had to sit there with, like, my head in my coat, and then you were all full of dust when you got home. And, you know, like, it wasn't very, I don't know even what kind of car, sprint car or something like that, I don't know. I'm not really a huge fan or nothing. Actually, I would be happy if I never watched a race again. But I really liked the Demolition Derby. I always wanted to go to those nights, but somehow I never got to see it. So that stuff, I like that. Like, if they're destroying shit, I'm all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Those are fun. And, you know, I secretly like wrestling, too. I do like me some, you know, WWE. I don't mind it.
Oh,
no.
Oh, I thought you meant like, no. That's like a cheap version of Passions. Like, it's horrible. Like, I tried for a little bit because I had some good friends. Like, I would watch Melrose Place, and he would watch wrestling, and we'd be on the phone the whole time, but we'd only talk during commercials, and thank God they usually synced up. But I tried to get into wrestling for, and I'm like, oh God, no, oh no. Mm-mm.
No, thank you.
Nope. Like, they're not even cute to me. They all have their long greasy hair, and like, what, we're expected to swoon? I don't think so.
You know,
you're
cool.
You
want a wrestler.
No, girl, I have not. There's not been a single wrestler that I've ever seen that I can recall that I've ever been like, ooh, break me off a piece of that. And
you know,
no.
You think Hulk Hogan is hot.
Absolutely not. And you know, I checked out his porn just in case, and no, I'm really not.
Really?
You know what? There is one hot wrestler, The Rock. The Rock is pretty hot.
Nope.
The Rock
I don't know what it is.
The Rock
I do not
is
like
hot.
Him.
John
I
Cena
don't.
Is hot. John Cena,
nope.
Come on.
No.
I agree. Nobody? There's no takers?
No. What's funny is everybody always compares Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Vin Diesel's like a wrestler. He's hot like a wrestler.
Well,
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
compares him and The Rock or whatever, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I like Vin Diesel, but I do not like, I don't know what it is. I just cannot get into Mr. Dwayne Johnson. I just, I think he's a, you know, I don't mind his acting. Like, you know, I enjoy him, but I'm.
I like his acting,
like,
actually.
If he was naked in a room, like, girl, I'm going to sit down and eat my salad. Like,
I wonder if this is like a, you know, a West versus East thing. I mean, you know, Karen, you're from the West. Do you like NASCAR?
Mm-hmm. No. Not at all. I'm from Texas, and I don't like NASCAR. Like, oh, my God. If I would want, I'd rather claw my eyes out than look at cars go in a circle.
Right.
Like,
this is how I feel about all
sports.
Because my father would watch sports. And on
no,
the weekend.
I love sports.
No, I hate it because he would always watch sports
it.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the early 80s, most people didn't have, like, multiple TVs or, you know, kids at least didn't have TVs in their rooms yet, I don't think. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't. But, like, so you'd have the TV in the living room.
Everything now. Ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't until, like, I think early, mid-90s that I got my TV in my room. And then we had a TV in the kitchen, but who wanted to sit in the kitchen and watch it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. I just remember, like, laying on the couch being so bored, and, like, there'd be NASCAR in the background or baseball or hockey or football or basketball.
You started with the three most boring sports ever, baseball, NASCAR, and hockey. Now, in
well,
my
I'm,
house,
no, no.
Basketball,
I like hockey now.
Football is amazing. Like, it's like, oh, like, I love it. I can't, like, literally Sunday, I was killing myself to watch the Dallas and the Giants game. Like, hello. And
well, football,
season,
there's stuff going on. I mean, there's people,
mm-hmm.
like, tackling each other and diving
yeah.
and throwing and, you know,
yeah.
there's stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
I do watch football once a year. I do watch the Super Bowl, and I do
you
sometimes get into it. Yeah, and I get it, you know, so I enjoy it, but I mean, I couldn't watch it like every weekend or so, you know, I don't care like that,
oh,
but I'll
I
watch
could.
The Super Bowl.
I could. On Sunday, I literally, like, this is doing my Sunday routine before I, like, I always say I transition to an adult, because now on Sundays, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to, like, get errands done or I'm trying to, like, sleep in, but no, literally, my Sunday is wake up, and if you don't take a shower before 10, there's not going to be a shower. And it's going to be football, and I'm going to order pizza because I'm not even going to stop to cook. But I used to get DirecTV because you get the DirecTV ticket, you get the NFL ticket, and you can watch every single football game known to man. Like, all of them, you can have access to all of them. And I'll plan out my football schedule. Like, okay, Dallas is playing at this time. Okay, such and such, the Patriots are playing at this time. Like, it's crazy. I'm a nut.
I had DirecTV once, and I had the sports package because I got
mm-hmm.
something else with it, I think, for free. So
mm-hmm.
I just took it, and I'm like, they're like, oh, you're going to love it. I'm like, dude, I'm gay. I don't watch sports. But I'll watch it. But Joe's family, you know, they're from Buffalo, so they're big on
mm-hmm.
the Buffalo Sabres or whatever, the ice hockey thing. And they always,
oh,
like, go to games, and I kind of want to go to a game because his father, like, kind of got me into watching it.
Right.
I didn't mind it.
If
there's a jug of wine...
Live? Even if you're not into sports, if you go live, it's exciting. Like, the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Like, they've got good liquor. Like, they'll have beer and margaritas. There's
well,
hot dogs.
Right. I mean,
and, like, it's the whole experience. You'll love it.
Yeah. if you're going to like a game, like I went to last summer, I went to the Paw Sox game here in Rhode Island, and it's more for the social experience, like the Paw Sox minor league.
What the hell is that? Is that something to do
baseball.
With French people?
No, it's baseball minor league.
Yeah, baseball minor league. Sorry, I thought most people knew that. They, you know.
That's the gay guy saying, what? Who's that? What? Ooh, wah, wah.
It was a social experience. Like, you know, Karen, you're right. I mean, they have the beer, the hot dogs, the peanuts, and then, you know, they play the thing. It's like, dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
dun, dun, dun. It's awesome.
People screaming. Yeah, it's amazing, right?
Like, in between Mike's and I's house, there's, like, a minor league baseball team here or whatever, and I guess they're quite popular because all summer long it's a madhouse. But you could get dollar beers on Thursday. So I was like, well, shit, it's a dollar beer. Let me try this out.
And, girl, there's too many people.
It's hot. They stink. Mm-hmm. They're dripping beer on you, spilling their mustard from their pretzels. No.
By the time you have two or three beers and you're sitting in the heat, you're not going to think about that.
I'm
going to
start punching people. I don't like to be that in close proximity with strangers. Like, you know, I got that thing. I don't like people touching me.
We need to, in the next installment of Uncensored Reality, we need to go to a live sporting event. And I'm telling you right now, Jeffrey, you're going to be, like, loving it. You're going to be screaming, like, we need to go to a Laker game. We need to go to, like, a Clipper game. We need to do something. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
I don't know if the sports teams are ready for that.
Yeah, because, you know, like, I'll go only if I could do drag and wear a cheerleader outfit and just, like, sit on the sidelines and be like, go, team, go. And I'll
do
the cheer. Did you ever see that movie?
As long as you don't talk to me during the game.
Oh, see, that ain't going to work then. Because I'm going to be like, what's happening? What's going on? Oh, I can see his penis. Buffy the movie. You remember the Buffy, the Vampire Slayer with Kirstie Swanson and Luke Perry?
No.
You remember that? From like 92, girl.
Ooh,
it was right before you hate it. Well, girl,
I
remember they do a cheer. They're like, come on, all you hot fans. Oh, girl, I didn't like the TV show. But I loved Kirstie Swanson and, of course, Luke Perry. Like, who? Oh, God. Mm-mm-mm.
He did it for you? You're a skinny guy. That's why you don't like wrestlers.
Overwood.
No, that is not true at all. I love me some muscles. But I just, you know me. But I don't like the whole long hair or the greasy hair thing. And I feel like the wrestlers, most of them, they just don't look clean. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, they just bother me.
Well, no, because you know what they do? They put oil. They put, like, baby oil all over their body.
Okay, well,
so
I don't
want to
touch your stinky, sweaty ass. Like, I'm good.
And they also put baby oil so when they, like, hit each other and slap each other, it just, like, slides off. You know, it's, like, a part of the act.
I just, no.
You want to grease them up, though? You can grease them up in the back. Somebody's got
to
do it.
I tell you, I did try to watch some baseball with my friend. She had lesbianago, but she loved her some Jeter. And I did watch a few baseball games with her just to watch me some Jeter because let me tell you about that boy.
Ooh, I saw him in person before. He's hot to death. He looks 10 times better in person. He's like 6'3", 6'4", like he's kind of tall, and he's like zero body fat, and he's like handsome. Like, he's really a handsome man. I've never been into Derek Jeter, but I saw him at this jewelry store I was at, and I was like, ooh. Like, I was like, dang, hot dude. He was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
did
know,
you date him?
A-Rod's not too bad either. He's all right.
Yeah, A-Rod looks good. Yeah. Those two, they're like the good-looking team. Derek Jeter dated Madonna, and A-Rod dated Cameron Diaz.
Oh.
And what's the other girl, Goldie Hawn's daughter?
Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson, yeah, he dated Kate Hudson. Like, they
I
like
love
the blonde
her.
Girl.
She needs to come back and do some more movies. I feel like she hasn't been around in a while, and I really like her.
I think she got married and had a couple babies, so she's kind of been doing her baby thing.
She needs to get with that girl because I miss her. I love the skeleton key. That was good shit.
You always pick, like, the off-the-wall movie that they do. Like, I'm like, what? Skeleton Key? Like, I don't even know that movie.
Oh, my gosh. It had her... Oh, God, who is the other one? There's a bunch of people in it.
Almost Famous. Like, I recognize, like, her good movies or How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Or
oh,
like,
I do love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah, like you're
I don't
like,
know.
You
like
the movie I've never heard of. You always do
I
that.
Usually like the ones that nobody else likes. I find, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I could, like, I mean, as I'm getting older, I'm having less and less tolerance for shitty movies. But I usually can find, like, the ones that are, like, the sleeper or whatever, you know, that nobody really likes, but they end up being cults or whatever. Like, oh, I love them.
Cult classic.
Yeah, except for that stupid
well,
one.
You should like Doctor Who, because Doctor Who is like a cult classic. We were talking about
I don't know nothing about him. He can keep
I'm
looking at
saying.
His hoo-hoos, but it ain't going to be me. But, like, I dragged poor Mike and his stepmom because I was in love with Alicia Silverstone after Clueless. So
oh,
I dragged them to go see her movie, Excess Baggage.
Oh, God. That would
and
be a movie for you.
Oh, my God. His stepmom was so pissed. Do you remember? Like, she was like, that was shit. I'm like, it was good. You leave her alone.
It was horrible. Like, that was the worst movie to follow up, Clueless. Like, she did Clueless, and she just struck gold with Clueless. Like, I don't know that Alicia Silverstone has done anything else since that has been
nope.
worthy.
Nothing.
Other than talk
and,
about feeding her own baby. Like, do you know she chews up her baby's food? Like,
oh, my God. I remember
she
that.
In her
oh.
mouth. And she'll chew it up, and then she gives it to the baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey.
And then she's
oh,
like
if,
one of those moms who, like, breastfeeds until the baby's, like, 10.
Oh, listen, my dinner's coming back on me. Stop. Oh.
Hey, if it works for her. But then after, like, she had, well, because she, remember she signed a $3 million, or no, a $10 million deal with
yeah.
Paramount for three pictures, and I don't
happen.
Ever think that. I don't think they even released the third one because they had Excess Baggage and Blast from the Past with Brendan
mm-hmm.
Fraser, which, oh, he was cute in that.
She had a horrible agent because whoever was reading those scripts for her, it was horrible. Like, what happened? How did you pick Clueless? And then, like, it just, oh,
right.
like, she should have, like, stayed in that niche.
Well,
you know?
What's funny is, like, Christopher Walken were in Excess Baggage and Blast from the Past. And Sissy Spacek was in Blast from the Past, Brendan Fraser. So, I mean, they had a decent cast, but it just...
Horrible script. Horrible.
No.
Yeah, I don't know that I even
then,
know anything she's been in. How does she make a living? Is she married good?
I don't know. I think so. I do believe so. And then, you know, she's got the book and the blog, and I think that's really successful. And she's been in a couple TV shows, and then she was in this movie Vamps, where she like played a vampire with some other girl, and it was an Amy Hecklin film, you know, the chick who did Clueless. So there was a bunch of the
okay.
cast members, kind of like, oh, you know. And this movie was so bad, it ended up. I don't even think it went to like a few theaters, and then went direct to DVD. I didn't finish it. I couldn't sit through it. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
Like, it was supposed to be, like, a comedy about vampires, but it wasn't funny. It was, like, spoof, stupid funny, but it didn't ever get funny.
You know, I'm still trying to make it through the Paperboy. I've tried, like, 4 weekends in a row.
Oh, she was actually in a couple good ones before Clueless. She was in, like, Crush. That one was kind of, she played a crazy chick.
B movie.
Yeah, they were B. They weren't God. Anything big, but there was a few.
They don't count, Jeff.
The Babysitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I think, like, you really got to have somebody, like, around you that can read scripts and pick out the hits, you know?
Well, I think it's hard, too, because what it looks like, I mean, like you said to us, because, you know, you kind of had happen, there was a movie that you just happened to be in that the script was amazing, and then the movie was nothing like the script.
Right. Well, it's true, because by the time, like, you shoot and rewrite, and somebody comes and makes a decision, and it changes everything, it's like they overthink it, you know, and you can either overthink it and it's better, or you can overthink it and you made it worse. Which, in my opinion, I think they made it worse.
Well, I still love to read the original script because you say it's so amazing.
I know. I have to see if I even have that script. I know I don't. I've got a script, but the one I have, I think, is the I have, like, a copy where we all signed it, and I have that. But I think it's the latest version. You know, it was, like, the
right.
last version. So
yeah, I'm not interested in seeing that. No offense or nothing, but... Yeah. So, I don't know if you guys have heard about this stuff or not, but there's been some tragedy in the news that just kind of caught my eye because it's not a normal tragedy, and I had to, like, kind of look at it twice. And the headline was, girl, 8 years old, orphaned because of rotten potatoes. Now, you might be listening to this and going, what the hell? This isn't real. And I emailed it to you and Mike or whatever. Mike, I was talking to him before the show, and he's like, that shit's not real. He Googled it. And go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't read the article or, you know, seen this, her whole family basically died from RPG, rotten potato gas. The military should be using this as some sort of lethal weapon. But apparently this is absolutely real. Potatoes, for those of you who don't know, if I can find my article here.
Come
on, iPad,
okay, well,
you can do it. Okay, here
okay,
we go.
So, all right, well, that works too.
All right, so okay, potatoes have certain toxic compounds known as glycocalyloids. Yeah, they make something
shit that'll
called,
kill
you. Yeah, solanine and cacoline. But anyway, long story short, don't leave a bunch of potatoes laying around in a basement for a long period of time with the door closed, and then go down and sniff them. All right, because apparently the toxin actually affects the nervous system. It can cause weakness, confusion. And ultimately, it's a very toxic effect to humans, and you can die. Although, listen, the scientific article says that, death is very rare. Commonly, you're going to get a headache, diarrhea, cramps. Basically, it sounds like you're getting your period, But I couldn't believe it. I mean, orphaned because of an RPG. Come on. Seriously?
I told you. And I tell Karen about this, and she's like, you're evil. I'm like, well, it's kind of funny. I mean, how many people in the world could be like, my whole family was wiped out by a fucking potato? And the thing that kills me...
It's not funny!
The way they write the article...
Yeah, that's what got me.
Apparently, the family had stored the potatoes for winter or something, and then they were killed one by one after entering a cellar where they stored potatoes for winter. Apparently her father was, they say her father, I can't even gonna try to say his name, was the first to enter the cellar, not realizing the potatoes had become seriously rotten. He fainted from the fumes and soon afterwards died, the police said. When he failed to reappear, his worried wife went to look for him in the dark and was also overcome by the poisonous gas. Next, the couple's 18-year-old son went in search of his parents, only to suffer the same tragic fate as his mother and father after inhaling the highly toxic fumes. Then, the mother's mother called a neighbor to say there was something suspicious and to plead for help. Before assistance arrived, she went into the cellar, suffocated from the gas, and collapsed and died like the others, say police.
Oh, my God.
It is understood that as she went in, she left the door open, allowing the fumes to disperse. Because the 8-year-old went in, found the bodies, but she, didn't die because the gases
That's
were able
so
to get out.
Sad. She's 8 years old.
Really,
you didn't tell me she was eight.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me because this one time, when I was before we moved, my kitchen started stinking real bad. Like I thought something got somewhere and died. Like I was real concerned. And then my cousin was over one day, and we're like sniffing around the kitchen, like, what the hell is that? And in one of the cupboards, in a bag, there was like two or three potatoes left, and it was just got pushed to the corner behind a bunch of stuff, and they rotted. They, like, Michael told me, and I was like, yeah, they liquefied. So it was like all mush, and like it drained out in the cabinet. I had to throw everything out in the cabinet, and it was filled with maggots. Of course, I lose my mind, start screaming, run out of the house. My cousin had to take care of it. I couldn't do it. And to this day, now Shannon lives there, Big Shan, there's a stain in the cover from the rotten potatoes.
But no, I mean, that's the weirdest thing. Like, I think it's almost all vegetables. Like, I mean, we've all done it at some point. You buy a bunch of fresh vegetables, whatever, toss them in the crisper. You don't think about it. Come on, how often you go in the crisper? vegetables, they liquefy. It's so disgusting.
Yes.
I mean, I've had to clean out my crisper drawer a few times, but who knew that shit could kill you? I mean, that's
make you think twice about cutting that the roots off that potato to make mashed taters. Yes,
well, listen,
it will.
I mean, listen, I'm thinking of a script that we could write about a serial potato killer who throws people in basements. It's the perfect murder. I mean, you throw someone in a basement with some RPG, and then you let the fumes go out. They can never figure out how they died.
It's just horrible.
I think it's a great. We could just steal the theme song, and it could be one of those B-budget movies, you know, where we stop in the middle of filming, and then we show people where we have to do product placement, like Attack of Killer Potatoes. It could be fun.
Yeah,
oh
listen, we'll get Alicia Silverstone to play the lead.
It'll be like Sharknado. It'll be like Sharknado. Uh-oh.
Como esta?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
hello,
Hi, Miha. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mom. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about y'all? I hear my murder going to take over in a dungeon.
Look, you want to fuck with somebody's life, get you some rotten potatoes and put it in their basement and have them go down there to do their laundry. They'll do them dirty.
I know it. Mm-hmm. They'll never find them.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
Throw some bees in there, too, and that'll make it even worse.
Oh, gosh. Leave it up to my mom to like add to the murder plot.
I'm telling
of course.
You.
Only my mom.
And we don't know how it happened. We don't even know how they got in there.
That's a really sad situation. Like, that's really, really sad. Like, can you imagine you lose your whole family because of a rotten potato? That's just a horrible way to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pinto beans
one.
In there. Some rotten pinto beans.
Hey, yeah, I mean, my question
horrible.
Was how many potatoes did they have? Because you got to figure, I don't know the size of a Russian basement. Maybe they're relatively small, but you got to figure there had to have been a lot of potatoes down there for a very long time to be able to make that much lethal gas. I mean, I would love to have an expert come on and tell me, like, how many potatoes and how long they'd have to be down there to kill someone.
Right, because it's like almost like a were they potato farmers? I mean, I always knew like potatoes really don't have that long of a shelf life. Like you got a week or two maybe, but
really?
You're right. Like how many do you have?
Well,
to kill somebody?
Sweet potatoes seem to last longer. That's why that's all I use. I don't even use white potatoes anymore. But it's it's nuts. But so if anybody's listening and you're a potato expert, feel free to give us a ring-a-ding-ding on the blower at 323-417-6705. Make sure you press 1 to speak with the host, and you can tell us all about your potatoes.
Inquiry minds need to know.
Mm-hmm. But girl, you know what else inquiry minds need to know about? Mama, you're going to love this one. So apparently there was a porn professor. He started a class over in Pasadena, around the corner. Oh, it was right where we stayed.
Right, yeah.
He was teaching a class that was basically, I guess, about pornography. So apparently he posted a blog dated September 5th acknowledging allegations made by a woman under the pseudonym Megan who claims to have sex with the professor numerous times. Well, apparently then he admitted that it happened with more than one, but he wasn't going to give the number. So I'm like, this dude already had a tick against him because he was teaching porn in college, and now he's banging his students.
Goodness.
And now they're kind of like, you might get fired.
Yeah, because this is the thing. It's one thing to teach about it, but you can't have sex with the student. You couldn't have it even if you are teaching porn.
I feel like if they were taping
it,
if they were taping it, it could be research. Extra credit.
No,
well,
I could
see,
not.
I've always been confused about this just a little bit. I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I mean, I totally get it that, a professor should not sleep with someone who is in his class because there is a legitimate conflict of interest. But these people, these girls that he was having sex with, if they're all adults, they're all 18 or over, they're all the age of consent, and these girls were not in his class, We're not talking about any sort of, you know, position where he could have any influence or anything like that. What's the big deal? What's wrong with a little sex?
The big deal is that when you become a school teacher, professor, you can't date a student. Like, it's part of the, like, it's part of your contract. It doesn't matter
if you're a student or if it's not a student.
You can't date a student that goes to that school because you're in a power position. Like, even if you're not in their class, that that professor has more power than you do. He can influence, you know.
They're sending them up to lawsuits, but, like, come on. Like, they're of age. Like, let me tell you, if I was in a university like that, I probably would have been banging my professors.
But that's the thing. It just goes against the code of conduct. Like, you're
I'm not trying to tell nobody.
You can't have sex with your patient. I don't know, but people always tell. People always tell. Like, all you got to do is date a couple students, piss one of them off, and you know they're going to tell on you.
That's true.
Well, that's like that poor girl on Mistresses. She was a psychiatrist, and she done slept with her patient, and it bit her in the ass.
Uh-huh. Like, that's the
thing.
Like, it's just one of those situations where it's just a part of the code of conduct. Like, you can't date a student. You know, now, if they don't go to the college and they're not enrolled, then you can date whoever you want. It doesn't matter.
Well, so, okay, so there's an issue with students, but what about coworkers? Like, this I don't really understand,
some
and it
places,
frankly bothers me.
Some places have it. Well, no, some places have it in the code of conduct because they just don't want the mess. Like, the reality is most relationships fail. They're, you know, the odds are you're going to date quite a few people before you find the one, right? So the reality is you're at this work, you spend all these hours working, you see these people all the time. It's easy for you to fall for someone at your job. So then what happens when you break up? You bring that stuff to work. It totally is a conflict of interest. It, you know, the office becomes unprofessional because you're mad, they're mad, and it's just, you know, it's like you can't mix business with pleasure. So a lot of jobs require it. Like, it's a rule. You can't date a coworker.
What you're saying is when you had your illegitimate love child by a certain co-star, that's why you left.
What?
Oh, boy.
What? Oh, here we go. Okay, I get what you're... Okay, you're talking about Power Rangers. No. I never had an illegitimate... That's a rumor you started. I've never had a child, an illegitimate
Were you
child.
Really concerned there for a minute? Yeah, you know, Blake is her illegitimate son.
But I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it threw me for a loop to where I had no clue what you were talking about.
You should go as many times as I reference your illegitimate son, Blake, with JDF. You should know.
I know, but you haven't brought it up in a long time, so I forgot.
It's just the opportunity
was
there.
I think Mike was like, what? Like, we were all like, what?
I know. I was like, wait. What kind of secrets are we dragging out on this show?
Exactly. I thought he was smoking reefer. I don't know what was going on with this guy.
No, I mean, I totally get that, though. Like, I think for companies, everyone is so on the trigger about wanting to sue someone for something that it could be someone, you know, completely not even in the situation involved in it at all, but because of quote unquote a hostile work environment, you know, all of a sudden they got a case. I mean, come on, just go back and watch, like, you know, every other episode of the 90s TV show, Ally McBeal. Just about every other case on that show was about sexual harassment in the office.
I know. And the funny thing is they were lawyers.
Exactly.
And they were
right?
all dating each other. Yeah.
Okay, that show, I'll take the one thing that sticks out in my memory from that show is when John had that damn pet frog. And, like, Portia de Rossi came in the bathroom and, like, flipped out because they had the co-ed ones. And she slammed the frog against the bathroom stall and killed it. I don't know that I've ever laughed that hard since. Like, I couldn't.
Oh,
I just kept rewinding it and playing it, rewinding it. It is the funniest fucking thing ever. Oh, it still
that
is.
That was a good
it's
show.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was. But they all fucked and they were fine.
That's TV.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fiction.
Hey, guys, this is what I think about working and dating somebody at work.
Oh, yes, tell us, miss.
Okay, look, like, this was the rule. When I went to work construction, the women that were with their, like, welders, they had their wives working with them. Okay, they were allowed to bring their wives, you know, to work. They could be their partners in work. But anybody else, if they were even caught, like, in a relationship or whatever, they're automatically, you're fired. Because
yeah.
You couldn't date nobody on the job
now,
site.
See, this is where I have a problem. It's because
you know why,
I
though? Because they probably had, many, many cases where it went wrong real bad, real quick. So they were like, you
yes,
know what, to just
that's
get it
right.
over with, you're going to be fired because we ain't dealing with drama. Like, we need to work
well,
with
I mean, I could see
mm-hmm.
in, like, a construction site or whatever
that's
where
what
it could pose a hazard. Because if you're not
well,
paying
not
attention
only that,
to what you're doing.
It just says,
okay.
This is what they said. We don't want the drama. And,
mm-hmm.
and this would be the only ones that could have their partner, like their wife or their girlfriend working with them, was the welders. And that was because they were contracted. They weren't really with
mm-hmm.
a company. I mean, they were with a company.
Right.
They were working for
they
the
were,
company. But
they
could leave at any time. But like the insulators, the cement, the electricians, all the other guys, all the other whoever else worked there, you could not have any relationship other than working. And if they would find out that you were automatically terminated, both of you.
Hmm.
But
well,
they don't want that
I
in
like
that job site.
Maybe we should have.
I think it should be like that everywhere at every job.
I don't know. Like, to me, that would just turn me on and make me want to do it even more because I'm that type of person where I'm thinking. And I really feel Karen and I have had this conversation where I really feel like being gay and being in the closet and going to Catholic school, like, I felt like that kind of fucked me up for life because everything you did was kind of hush-hush, and it was quiet, and it was a secret, and it was a thrill. It was a rush. You know, it's kind of like dating a married man.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, after that, once you come out of the closet, you can't really recapture that excitement. So I could see the appeal of boffing a coworker when you ain't supposed to. I'd be all over that like cat shit.
Well, I'm sure that's why a lot of people are. That's why they have to implement a rule, because obviously it's a problem. What about
yeah.
you, Mike? What do you think? He works at a corporate job, which I'm sure
yeah,
has a
yeah.
no-dating policy. He's probably very conservative.
You know, as far, yes and no. They do allow, obviously, married couples to work in the same department. The only thing that's really kind of shut down is obviously your husband or your wife, whatever, your partner, cannot also be your boss.
Right.
And more or less, like, if something does, yeah, like, if something
mm-hmm.
does develop, you need to more or less report it to management immediately, and there cannot at any point in time be sort of any display of, like, you know, favoritism. I mean, the company I work for is massive. You know, the call centers that we have, it's real easy. If you end up in a relationship with someone in your same work unit, they can very easily just transfer you to different shifts or transfer you over to another team, and you're still working in the same building. You're just not
right.
next to each other, you know.
Right.
Or,
okay.
you know, problem.
Or they're
you know,
not in an authoritative position. Yeah.
Right,
they can,
right.
Like,
that's
bully
yeah,
you
there
or
can't be,
give you favorites. Yeah.
Right. There can't be any sort of, you know, position of power or quid pro quo. That's it, yeah. Quid pro quo
yeah.
involved.
Right.
And look, this was another rule that they told me. And they told
what?
The girls, the only the girls. They said, look, y'all are out here. Because when I started working there, it was over 300 guys. And then there was, like, maybe five other girls
oh,
besides
that's a young
me working
heaven.
There.
Good
that's
afternoon.
Okay, but look, eventually those girls didn't even last, like, 2 weeks because of the heat because it was real, real hot out there. They couldn't deal with it. And the hours and you know. But the thing was that they told all five of us, they said, and another thing, you know, they said we couldn't wear, we had to wear, like, real baggy clothes. We couldn't have no, like, clothes that, like, you would wear on the street. You know, you have to wear, clothes, like, to work construction. And another thing, they said that we couldn't be complaining about how the guys talked, you know, like if they were talking X-rated or that we couldn't take it personal because it was a job site. It was a construction, it was mainly guys, and that we were going to be hearing, you know, like, they're cussing or talking about women and all that. You couldn't take it personal because that's part of it. That goes with a job, you know, that's construction.
That seems kind of illegal.
We couldn't go over there and say, well,
that's wrong.
These guys were talking.
That's wrong.
These guys,
yeah.
I don't think they can
you
get
know,
away with that today.
You know, these guys were talking like, we couldn't take it personal because, you know, because then that's what goes with a job, you know. We
you
just
said,
had to
live
there or get
that?
Off the, or get off, or get off the plant.
Ago.
We built gas plants from the ground up.
But when was it? Like, how long ago was that?
Remember when Gina was pregnant with Nicholas?
I know, when I lived with you. He's going to be seven. So it's like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years
what?
Ago.
What?
Yeah.
But the rules are still
that's
the same.
Discrimination.
I mean,
that's discrimination, though. Like they could get all kinds of lawsuits for that. If you
like
can
that,
get them on
guys,
tape saying that,
yeah.
That's like a lawsuit.
That's sexual harassment.
Well,
they can't
like,
tell you
it was
not
like,
to get
you know what? It's like when if you heard something that you didn't like, you didn't have to sit. You know, you just had to ignore it. But they weren't actually talking about you or telling you. But they just said this is a job site. This is a construction job site. Men are going to talk. They're going to be men, and they're not used to having women around. So, in other words, if you don't want to hear it, move away or just ignore them because they're not really talking about you. They're not as long as they don't say it directly to you. You know,
I
you couldn't
say
really say nothing.
Fairness. Then you girls should have been allowed to sit there and talk about how small men's penises are and how they have no clue what women really want, and they shouldn't have been able to get mad. I'm saying what's fair is fair.
Yeah. But, you know, it didn't bother me because I'd easily walked away or I never hardly ever ate with them. That's when they talk more during lunch or when their breaks. I usually was by myself over there, so I never did. Unless I heard them when I was talking right there with them and they would say some shit, but I ignored them. And then it winded up that I was the only girl. Everybody else quit, and I was the only one that stayed. I was the only girl among like 300 guys. So, but they would cool it at first. They were like that just to see how I would react. When they saw that I was just ignoring them, they just quit doing talking like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
But that's just
well,
the
job.
I cannot
manage you. Not saying shit. I just see you running up and popping one of them in the chops and being like, fuck you, buddy.
But it was an experience. And they still call me. They still, two of the foremen, they still, one of them that was real rich wanted to marry Ashley, but Ashley didn't want to marry him.
Oh, that poor
oh,
girl.
Oh, God, I did not want to marry that guy. Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
Why, was he ugly?
Yeah, like, it was just,
like,
ugh.
How rich are we talking?
He wasn't rich.
He wasn't ugly, actually. He wasn't ugly. He was just a big guy.
He was
a big,
rich.
Big guy.
He wasn't rich.
He wasn't that rich, right?
Right, he wasn't that rich.
He wasn't rich enough. He wasn't rich enough to give me an imagination.
Right.
Oh,
to
come
give me
on, Karen.
It wasn't rich enough to give me beer dollars.
You could have gave his little jackhammer a try.
Oh, God. Ew. Mike, that's actually really funny.
And he said, if she was to marry me, she wouldn't have to work a day in her life. She could drive any kind of car she wanted. She could have any kind of house she wanted. She could have anything. She could just name it.
He wasn't rich enough to do any of that.
You could have had yourself a nice, slightly used Ford Taurus. It's all good.
Right. And I'm gonna it's like any house I want in Odessa, Texas. No, thank you.
Yeah, you'd have your thing mentioned here, Ashley.
In Odessa. Like, oh, that's appealing. I'll take a mansion in Odessa, Texas. No,
well, there is mansion.
Yeah, there are.
I'm sorry, but if there's a mansion involved, I'm available.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
Well, now you know who to take to the construction site, Mom, when you're there with 300 men. These two guys on the phone.
Actually,
they'll
I'm married.
To the construction site.
But Mike really needs to get laid, and we'll talk about that a little more because he's been using some hookup sites, and we got something about that. But I'm saying, like, Mike and 300 Man Girl, you have to get crowbars to kill him off the boys. Mike would be just attached. Like, he'd be grabbing onto their ankles and shit.
Oh, Lord.
Be at the construction site day in and day out.
Listen, I got to be careful when I'm driving on the highway because when you drive by the construction workers, I get a little distracted sometimes and, you know, I almost crash into
them. You better watch out. Have a head-on collision.
Yep. He'll be like, I'll be an electrician's wife. I'll be an electrician's wife so I can be here.
Ooh, actually, that would be real convenient. If you would get with an electrician, Mike, could you send him over?
Right.
I will do my best.
We need you to date people like that because we got some things we need fixing. I need somebody hang some pictures and paint a wall in my house.
That's it.
Oh,
I'm going to make Mike J a new profile on one of the dating sites, and I'm going to go hook him up with an electrician or a social media manager.
There you go. Uh-huh. There you go. You could be a helper. That's what I was. I was a helper.
A handyman. I need a handyman.
Honey, we all need a handy man.
Oh, man. But speaking of, you know, hookup sites and whatnot, I'm sure you guys, or at least James, has heard of this new app called... you guys have heard of
really?
Grindr,
really?
You're
going to single
right?
me out? Really, Mike J? Really?
really. You all have heard of Grindr, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Grindr? Yeah.
Okay, well... All right, so we, you know, Grindr, it's pretty much you start at point A and you get to point B very quickly. Well, I'm going to share with you guys some interesting stories from Grindr. One of them is mine, actually.
Hey, Mike, tell whoever is listening who doesn't know what Grindr is, give us a brief description of what Grindr is.
Okay,
just in case.
Gotcha. Well, all right. Grindr is this app that you can download for your iPhone or your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a website. I don't know. I only use the app. But basically, it's a hookup thing, all right? And it's the cool part about it is, or at least I think so, although it did freak me out a little bit, was you can turn on the location services on your iPad or your phone, and it'll tell you and show you guys that are pretty much right around you. And funny story, when I was in Oklahoma over the summer, I loaded up the Grindr on my iPad.
And nobody suggested that to you. Absolutely.
No, nobody suggested that to me. No, no one did. don't you know, I'm staying at the La Quinta.
He always has credit for everything. Good Lord.
He does. No, I did hear about it from Jeff. I got to give him that. He's the one who's like, get Grindr. I'm like,
and in fairness,
Grindr?
Big Cock told me about it, and I just felt that Mike needed to have that in his life because he's kind of a whore.
So I pull it up, and I'm staying at the La Quinta, okay? And on the location thing, it's telling me that there's a guy 283 feet away. All right, now this is a three-story hotel, so you got to figure he's
Lord.
In a building. Yeah, you got to figure he's in a building somewhere, you know? So, you know, we start going back and forth a little bit, and, you know, I'm telling him I'm from the East Coast, and he's, you know, like, oh, the East Coast, oh, you know, all sorts of excited. And so, you know, I'm like, well, we figured out I was on the third floor, he was on the first floor. I had a suite, so naturally, you know, he should come upstairs. So I opened the door, and I about closed the door just as quickly as I opened the door because, you know, actually, I didn't even really open the door. I looked through the peek hole, and then I was, like, very quiet and hid in the bathroom until he left. because this guy, like, you know, no one ever looks like their photo because this guy was, like, wearing some sort of black leather tank top thing and had, like, you know, some sort of skull tattoo. It was just a very bad experience. So
it's Oklahoma. What do you expect?
How was his hair?
Long and in a ponytail.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean,
Listen, I was expecting some, you know, sort of
it
like...
It was business in the front, party in the back.
Exactly. I was expecting, you know, some sort of Midwestern, you know, cowboy charm or something, you know, maybe some tight jeans, a shirt, you know, shows up with like a, I don't know, a wood splitter or something, you know.
You were hoping he had spurs on them boots, weren't you?
I was.
He was wearing them fur on them boots.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
I know that's right.
So, what brought all this up was an article I shared with Jeffrey. I wanted to share with you guys a couple of screenshots. I'm going to read them to you.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Actual conversation from Grindr. Okay, so first guy pops up on his little bubble. Steve, I remember you from high school. How you been, man? Steve replies, really good, thanks. How are you? Good enough. How big is your cock?
I need you to do voices with this because it's kind of boring.
I'll do voices. All right.
No, he does really good voices. Go, Mike.
Okay. So here's one. This couple who first met when they grabbed the same cutoff tank top at the same sale rack. So, hey. Oh, actually, that's not right. Because this one's, sorry, I should read these ahead of time. My bad. Hey there, I'm looking for a cute top. You free? Try H&M. All right. If you don't know what H&M is, it's a clothing store. Okay.
Oh,
so this next couple was born out of a well-meaning intervention. Sup, cutie? How are you doing? I'm okay just hanging out with friends. Are you looking? I'm a bottom. Meth is bad.
Like, people are so crazy. Like,
yeah.
That's what I feel like gives the gays us a bad name. It's because when you see the things like this, like, seriously, they'll be like, hi, how are you? You want to fuck? Like, it's just that, like, it, that, there's no, let's not conversate. I don't even know your last name. Let's just get down to the business.
One more I'll share with you guys. This one really sort of fits the circumstances. It says, this couple who found employment for each other in an unstable economy. First text blurb. Want a blowjob? I want regularly jobs. This economy is harsh.
Oh, Lord. You are something else.
I tell you, it's better with the voices. It's so good with the voices.
Okay, nothing was as good as that night that he imitated you. Like, hi, this is like Karen Ashley. Like, oh my God.
He so did not have me. Like, it was a horrible, horrible impersonation.
And then Katrina plays whoever, and she's like, you know, the fat one.
Oh my God, we got to look that clip up. That was one funny show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is real. It's great. But so this is my question to you guys. Have you ever used maybe a not normal way to hook up with somebody?
Depends on your definition of normal.
Like,
but
okay,
normal.
Getting maybe blind dates hooking up from friends. Like, have you ever met somebody online or, you know, an app, a blind dating service in the Penny Saver, whatever your local little rag is? You know, one of those things. You ever put, like, a personal ad out there? Anybody?
I plead the fifth.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to all apply to Mike and James. That's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never put an ad out or did anything like that. I mean, of course, I've used sites like OkCupid or Grindr. You know, I've hooked up off of those things, but I've never, like, taken out a personal ad or anything.
I had Match.com for a while back in the day when I was skinny, and, like, I started dating somebody, and after I dated them, I, like, looked up the account again, and, like, it would always send you, like, whoever you match and, like, how much percentage you'd match by. And didn't they say that we matched by 100%, me and my ex? I canceled the shit that day and never used one again. That shit is evil.
Let me tell you what this happened when this man did. I have a girlfriend of mine that works in the hotel, and when she got out of work one day on her car, it had a paper on there, somebody wrote it out and then made copies of it.
and he had his name, his room number, and he said he was looking for somebody to have fun for the night, and that he was willing to pay whatever, you know, and for her time and whatever. So she says that the security guard there, he went out and put them all over the cars outside. So then the security guard there was a girl. So she calls 911, and they go, they bring the SWAT unit, and they busted him in the room because of that little ad. Yeah, because he was soliciting for, if he hadn't put there that he would pay, they wouldn't have done nothing to him. Like, if he just wanted, you know, a friend or companionship or meet him at the bar, drink, whatever, if he'd have done it like that. But he said, come to my room, I'm willing to pay you whatever, you know, and the security guard, they got him, they busted him for that. And he was a worker, he was high up there in rank in the company.
That's like total creeper. Like, isn't that
it?
Stuff freaks me out. Like, I've had,
that,
like, older
that
men,
would
like...
I mean, why would you even answer an ad like that? You know, it's like, you know, nobody... He just made a deal and put them all out in the cars and everything. See who would, go for it.
I always had a good time, like, going through, like, the personal ads, you know, and, like, the little newspapers or whatever, because they're always so crazy and outrageous. You know, like, I'm into kink, like, I want to beat you, pee on me, crazy, and, like, and they'll just put it in their head. I'm like, who responds to this stuff?
Takes all kinds.
I mean,
takes all kinds.
It's crazy, crazy, craziness to me. But what's also craziness to me is that Miley Cyrus is in the news again because she got yanked off the Vogue cover because of her twerking at the VMA.
What?
She was twerking. Girl, it's what me and you would have called the, like, booty popping or bump and grind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just you rubbing your ass on somebody and dancing and bending over. And they call it twerking now, apparently, these kids these days. And she did this this girl, like, was like, do you agree with grandkids, like Hannah Montana?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah,
so this chick is now like.
I saw that in the TV where she was doing that. She had that little, it looked like a little, just a bra and a pair of panties, you know, just.
Yeah. Yeah, like she's lost
her mind.
It
was a nude color. Didn't even look like an outfit. I mean, like a costume.
Yeah, apparently she's gotten into a few bath salts. Yeah, and, like, she's gone nuts and just kind of a skank. And she is, you know, like, you just need to forget who I was before. Like, I want to start over as an artist. And, you know, she got dropped from the cover of Vogue because, you know, Miss Ice Queen over there.
Yummy.
She wasn't good enough. Or didn't
really
care for her antics.
She's just trying to be noticed. She just wants to be still Hannah Montana, but not really. But she wants to be noticed for all her craziness.
Well, it seems to
me,
the only way for these kids to get attention is to push the envelope. And then people are, like, comparing her to Madonna. And I'm like, the thing is, though, Madonna started that way, and she never changed. Like, that was Madonna all through the thing. And now looking back on it, like, Madonna kind of had a point. But, I mean, we didn't know that at the time. But, you know, she's trying to empower women in a sexual way. Whereas this chick, I feel, is just trying to get attention. Like, I feel like Madonna did it. You can't do it again.
I think with her, she does, like you said, there's really no point in it. I really think there's, like, drugs involved. And with her,
right,
it's almost like she's trying too hard to be sexy, and she's not sexy. Like, it's like the average chick trying to be hot. Like, come on.
Well, you know, first of all, she needs to lose the man voice. She sounds like a fucking whore.
Right.
Oh, God. You hit the nail on the head, Karen, with that one. I mean, she's trying to still lose that whole Hannah Montana, I'm a Disney brat, you know, protege sort of thing. And it's just not working. She's trying too hard.
Well, I felt like Jenny McCarthy nailed it on the head today on The View when she said she thinks that, you know, maybe these stars that are a little insecure about their lack of talent, so they have to kind of be provocative. But I feel like, okay, this is where I can almost, like, get Lady Gaga, because at least she's not doing this whole trampy thing. She's just nuts. But Miley, like,
even
she...
Even with Gaga,
like,
though, at least Gaga, most of her stuff is, there's a political message. Like, she does a lot of stuff for gay rights, for equality.
It's very creative.
Yeah, and it's just a crazy way of doing it. But for, like, Miley, I really think Miley was not the cute chick. Like, she was not the cute,
she's
so
kind of chubby.
She wasn't like, you know, what's the other girl? Like, she wasn't the Vanessa Hudgens. She wasn't the,
Beautiful, the other girl.
Yeah, she wasn't the, to me, I think she was just the average one.
She's really overcompensating.
Like,
she's
really.
The best friend sidekick. She's not the star.
Yes,
she's the sidekick.
Exactly. And I think she found herself in a star position. Like, she actually was funny. She had really good timing. She had this hit show, you know, and it's almost one of those weird things where it's like everything that made her famous, she hates that wholesomeness about herself. When I just feel like, but you know what's funny? Is her song was number one. She's never had a number one song. And it was, like, selling like crazy. Her new video where she's topless and she's a mess, like, she's licking on stuff and she's just a mess.
A hammer.
It's like, got more views than anything. So the crazy part is we're all talking bad about her, but people can't stop looking at her. People can't stop watching it. People haven't stopped buying it. So in a crazy way, it's almost working for her. Like, it's working, but it's, like, negative attention. Oh, man, we need to talk about some more.
That time again.
Hey, yeah, it's that time again, so tune in tomorrow. Maybe we'll pick back up on this, but I'm sure Jeff and the gang has an amazing show planned for us. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is James, a.k.a. Lips, and you're listening to the Jake Pentland Encore on Uncensored Radio.
My mama told me when I was young, we are all born superstars. She jacked me off and put my handcuffs on and chained me to her armoire. Listen to what doctors say, cause doctors make no mistakes. I love my boy, crack, baby, I was born this way. Doesn't matter, mommy raped me, it's in my DNA. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way.
Have you tried playing with yourself?
Round of applause, Eli and Jake, thank you.
That was amazing.
We are a musical phenomenon. I hope you heard every word. Did you hear every word, Susie?
I don't think so, but I'm okay with it.
Did you get the gist?
I sure did.
Okay, so boy's raped by his mom, and then he grows up to be a pedo, but he's like, hey, it doesn't matter, my mom raped me, it's in my DNA. Anywho, welcome to the Jake Pentland Show. This is a barn burner. This is our pedo spectacular. When I think of exciting podcast shows, I think pedophilia. I can't think of anything more exciting to talk about. People often ask me, what's this show about? Well, you can't really describe it, but I can tell you it's bizarre. Anyway, welcome, Susie and Jen and Eli. Hello, friends.
Thank you.
Hello. I forgot that I put his name in the theme song.
I know. I specifically asked Jake not to mention a certain person.
Yes,
he did. Too late.
We lost a couple callers.
That was pre-recorded. Yeah.
I didn't know in time. I apologize to the person. And real quick, Blog Talk is having major technical issues. We're getting word from their, you know, genius technician people that phone calls are dropping. So if you do call in and drop, just call back. The number is 323-417-6705. We are not dropping you. It's because this website sucks balls. Anyway, Pedo Spectacular 2013, I'm really excited. We've been dancing around this subject on Twitter for God knows how long, probably 3 or 4 weeks. We've gone back and forth. There are multiple debates within debates. It's too hard to follow on Twitter. Most of the messages I'm getting back is that people cannot even tell what argument Jen and I are even making. So, and I can understand, as I say all the time, Twitter is just fun to troll and meet people and stuff, but we come here to really discuss, and that's what we're going to do today. Mm-hmm. So call in if you have any issues. Again, 323-417-6705. So basically, here's what the debate's about, okay, for those of you who can't follow it. There is, quote-unquote, scientific evidence that apparently, according to some of the people we've been fighting with, is drawing a conclusion that pedophilia, for those of you who don't know what pedophilia is, it's being attracted to prepubescent children and sexually. It, real quick, Jen, pedophilia is just the attraction to the kid. It doesn't mean you're actually diddling them, right?
Well, I guess it's the same as an attraction, like I have an attraction to men. If I wasn't having sex with them, I would still be attracted to men.
So if you're a pedophile...
Yes. They compare it to a sexual orientation, yes.
And, you know, it was a long-held belief, and it's still mine because I'm not a fucking lunatic, that pedos are made. I believe they're abused as children or neglected or physically abused or sexually abused or you name it, and they become dysfunctional and depressed and dark and twisted, and it manifests different for all people. Some people grow up to be great people that are abused, but there are some that become abusers, and that's always been my philosophy here. So basically the debate, so you guys know, is I've been making the case that pedos are made, that it's nurture, that it's environment, that it's a, you know, factors that happen after you're born that make you that way. And I think, you know, most people probably hearing the show going, well, how can you possibly debate that? Like, who would take the opposing side of that? I mean, what kind of idiots are you running into, Jake, that somebody would even have an issue with that? Well, a lot of people have read a few studies that show some link to it being prenatal, and you know, basically when you're in your mom's womb, because some of them are left-handed, basically, as far as the science goes. So I find it strange, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about the science, but I just want to put my premise out there. I find it more psychologically telling about a person who would wish that this was biological and scientific. My red flags as a empath, which I am, Susie, I don't know if you know this, but I am a highly enlightened spiritual being. Are you aware of this?
Well, and, you told me you're psychic.
Yeah. Jen and Eli already know, so I'm not going to tell them. But, yes, I'm psychic. So I can feel things from people. That's why people like me. When I talk to people, it's a matter of 2 or 3 minutes before I have their entire childhood history. And I sense things, and I sense dysfunction. It's my wheelhouse. It's my gift. And anyone that... would argue that it's scientific, to me, it's a red flag that either they have been abused themselves or they've been around it and they really want it to be neat and tidy and scientific, because then they don't have to take responsibility. And that's why I'm so passionately and fervently against it being a biological disorder. It's the same way when I've argued on the show about depression or obesity. It falls in the same category. People will say, you know, a 900-pound person, obviously, they're born that way. They're genetically predispositioned to hold fat differently, and when they eat, they, you know, they get boners, or the rest of us just get full. And I say, no, they're obese because they're eating 900,000 calories a day and sitting on the couch. And that's pretty much the same debate with the pedo. So let's just get right into the science. I know we are expecting a caller, although she has not called yet because she's shopping. Typical for me. So we'll probably just—I'll just probably ask you, Jen, to identify it. But let's just tackle this science, quote unquote, one by one. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Why do you keep saying quote unquote? I don't like that.
I know you don't. And I don't like that you don't like that.
You can't just disregard science because it's inconvenient for you.
See, I don't disregard science. This is what's so funny about this. I get accused of this a lot.
Okay,
I don't disregard science. I love science. I was going to study genetic engineering in college. I was a biology major. I love science. I'm obviously.
Why don't you believe in this science?
Because this is not a science. It's like, you know, I like astrology. I mean, everyone knows I like astrology, but you never hear me claim astrology to back up any assertion or fact on this show. I won't say someone's a Leo, therefore they do it. I might in private. Like, Susie, I know you are a Leo,
right,
and therefore you can't control your sexual attraction to me because my Venus is. And that's why we have such mad chemistry. But no, I will never study, will never back up a study with it, because at the end of the day, it's still crazy old gypsy ladies in a van speaking the shit, and I understand that. So the basis of this quote-unquote science, just to be more clear, we'll call it, let's call it neuropsychology, so we stay on topic here. So I'm not talking neuroscience. I'm not talking about gray matter, white matter, electrodes, all the stuff they do. That's still itself a very early science. We don't know shit about the brain. But that should be studied more and interesting. When you start getting to the area of neuropsychology, it's not a science because basically all these – it's not, and I'll tell you why. It's based off question and answer. So, for instance, these – when you go – let's use depression since I'm well-versed in that. When you go to a therapist to say you're depressed, they will tell you have a chemical problem. You're chemically imbalanced. And again, I've said this 1,000 times. They never do a spinal tap. They never test your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what science does. Let's go back to the science without the quote-unquote. When you go in there and say to a doctor, I have this tumor in my tit, they take a biopsy, science. They put it under a microscope, science. They tell you whether or not it's malignant or not, science. When you go to a therapist, they go, how do you feel? I feel bad. Oh, it's your brain chemistry. It's a question and answer, and it's completely subjective. And anyone who is a fan of science, such as I am, knows you can't base a study off subjective answers, especially answers as dark and secret as depression and sexual abuse. Because I don't know about you guys, but when you go to a party, usually you're like, hey, where's the punch bowl? It's not, you know, 30 seconds in where you're like, hey, raise your hand if you were molested. It's not something we really talk about. It's very taboo. And when you factor in that people lie, also, when you factor in the fact that when we are abused or traumatized, we literally, a lot of us just tune out and forget it. A lot of people don't even remember being abused. Like they fucking just go cold. Their brain goes into shock and they forget it out. Totally forget it ever happened. There's also false memory syndromes with abuse where you can say you're abused and you're not. So basically, the brain, when we're talking about neuropsych, we're talking about the psychological brain. It is, there is no scientific study that I will ever accept, at least at this point, unless they can start really getting in the brain and figuring it out. Until then, it's a quote-unquote science, and that's just a fact. I'm not talking about neurology. I'm talking about neuropsychology. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I get it in that case.
Okay.
Maybe we should talk about some of the studies that you guys sent to me, because some of them are scientific, and they're based on a scientific method.
Yeah, they are based on a scientific method to anyone
who's not. And that's what science is.
Okay, here, I'll give you an example here. We'll go into the studies, but let me just give
you
an example.
Okay, let's go.
When they start, you know, testing a pedo brain, and they say, for instance, that they have less white matter, which is the matter in your brain that carries your fucking neurons and shit. I'm not a scientist, so I might get a few things wrong, but the white matter is testing lower in pedos. They have less white matter, for example. Okay. Here's proper scientific – well, here's improper scientific method. You look at it and go, oh, all these pedos have weird white matter. There must be a link between low white matter and pedos. Therefore, it must be biological. So that's how normal people think that aren't – no offense, Susie, that aren't really that bright. How I think as a genius is I go, wait a minute, are they testing these pedos prenatally? Like, have they taken a sample of their brain in the womb? Did they take a sample of their brain when they were 1 year old? How do you know they weren't always this way? How do you not know that their white matter didn't change over years from being abused? None of that is in these studies. It's all question and answer. Then you get to the next part when you say, well, only 30% of them say they were sexually abused. How many people admit to being sexually abused? So, again, it's a subjective question
and
answer.
Well,
and
also when they do admit to being sexually abused, then they get called liars.
Right.
Like, it's very swayed. If they admit to it, then it's because they want to get out of consequences.
We'll get to the studies, but just you can't tell me it's a scientific study to say that they have less white matter, because what you're doing is you're just looking under a microscope at a particular point in time. You do not have controls and you do not have variables. And anybody that is a fan of science, as I am, knows it's flawed. You have to compare it to their brain matter prenatally. Now, nobody's saying I haven't seen anyone say
there
that.
There were also the studies about handedness, left-handedness,
yeah, left-handed.
In particular, and also height.
Right. Short left-handed, low IQ people are more pedophilic than tall right-handed people. That is true. We did find that. So let's go. Okay, fine. Let's just get into these quote-unquote studies. Okay? I just want to make my case clear. I do not ignore science. I just expect things labeled as science to act as science. And I don't get fooled easily because I'm a fucking mega brain man god. Thank you. Jen, can you give us a study?
Well, here's what the leader says, and I won't even preface it. Here's what the leader of all of this physiological research says. His name's James Cantor. He said, 30% of pedophiles are left-handed or ambidextrous, triple the general rate. The general rate is about 10 to 13% in the whole population of non-kid fuckers. Because hand dominance is established through some combination of genetics and the environment of the womb, scientists see that association as a powerful indicator that something is different about pedophiles at birth. Therefore, this was his conclusion, the only explanation is a physiological one. That was his quote, literally, because 30% are left-handed, not taking into account the 70% of pedophiles that are right-handed. I mean, I know it's triple, but there's a difference of left-handed brains and right-handed people's brains.
Well, let's break this down, Susie, for proper science. See, pseudoscience would go, normally the population is 10% left-handed, but in the pedo population, 30% are left-handed. So there does seem to be a link between left-handed and pedos, okay? And if you're not that bright, you would stop there and go, oh, good, it's biological, we win, yay, I don't have to take responsibility for being raped. For those of us that won't do that, we'll say, well, first of all, what causes left-handedness? They don't know. And we all know that we heard as kids, I don't even know if this is true, but they say if you're, for instance, if you're right-handed, you're more logical because you're controlled by your left brain. And if you're left-handed, you're more creative and sensitive because you're controlled by your right brain. Both hemispheres of the brain are different. So it's, if you're a real scientist, you would go, okay, well, it is higher in left-handed people. If your conclusion and hypothesis, which mine is that it is nurture and abuse, well, then you can draw a conclusion that if somebody who is controlled, a left-handed person, by a more emotional hemisphere of their brain, if they are abused and they are more, quote-unquote, sensitive, then, of course, more of them would be pedos. So it doesn't take away from nurture. But that implies, again, looking at it more objectively instead of going, yay, we win, which is not what science is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that anyone should do that. I just don't think we should dismiss things that indicate maybe correlations, not causations, but correlations, although that guy seemed to close the book and just wipe his hand saying, okay, we've done
well,
it. But I'm just saying we should consider everything altogether.
I absolutely agree. And for the record, another thing I always get confused with saying is that I don't believe that people are different, and I ignore genetic predisposition, and I ignore the people of different and store fat different or break down alcohol different, and that's not true. I know all of that as much as anyone, if not more. For instance, if you're Native American, which my wife is, they genetically don't break down alcohol. That's why there's always drunk engines everywhere in the casinos. They're out of control drunks, right? I have Irish genes and Scottish genes. I could drink, you know, 10 Scotch whiskeys and fly a plane. So I'm not one of those people that goes, oh, it's nurture, I just drink more, and this Native guy should just drink more. I'm not that stupid. I understand there are correlations in genetic predisposition and different biological things. Our brains all work different. I'm not ignoring that. And that's real science, by the way. That's not neuropsych with your feelings and emotional disorders. That's actual science and actual genetic science. I don't ignore it. All I'm saying is at the end of the day, nurture still will trump that debate. My argument will still win 100% of the time. Because, for instance, if you are a Native American who can't break down alcohol, then you shouldn't fucking drink all of the time. You can't handle your alcohol. So, again, it's nurture. I would go to my Indian friend and say, listen, what's an Indian name? A racist one. Haji, or that's the other Indian. Runs with tongs. I'd say, listen, Runs with tongs, you should not have that beer right there because you are genetically predisposed to becoming alcoholic because you can't break it down. So now you have to take responsibility for that. You have to change your life. This is nurture now. You can't. When you get sad because your people were poisoned with smallpox and we took all your land and gave you casinos, when you get sad about that, which you should be sad about, you can't drink.
Yeah,
so
they never
again,
let us forget that.
Yeah, they really shouldn't let us forget it. And or we should just go all the way and kill them all so we never have to hear it again, one or the other. But the point is, it's still nurture. It's still environmental, and it still is your responsibility how you handle it. I got this same argument with fucking Xander, Mr. Fatty Fat guy, when he was saying, when I eat, it goes to my dopamine centers, and I feel euphoria, like a cokehead. Well, listen, mm-hmm. dipshit, since when you eat, you turn into a cokehead, stop eating so much. And when you get sad and depressed, deal with your depression. Take responsibility for it. Talk to someone. Don't go to the fridge. Your brain is genetically predetermined to make you 900 pounds. So I don't ignore the signs. It just doesn't make it okay to me. It doesn't mean, ah, fuck it. You know what? I have Coke fatty brain. When I eat, I go Coke heady. So I'm just going to stuff my fat face, which is really what's underlying all this quote-unquote science and all the people that argue with me. And why I get so angry is because what they really want is they want the out. They want it to be biological. They want it to not be their fault. And what's the heart of that? The heart of that is not taking personal responsibility. And when people say, what's the show about? It changes. Sometimes it's this. The heart of every show is personal responsibility. If you are attracted to kids, even if it is biological, even if you guys win that debate and go, no, you're born a pedo, still, don't fuck kids and get help or kill yourself. Mm-hmm. Kill yourself at least. Do something. You can change it. You still have the environment and the control to change it. So I don't ignore it. It just doesn't matter to me because I'm a mega-brained man god. Thank you. anything else? Any other questions?
Do you think that there are any pedophiles, even one, who had really healthy upbringing and no trauma?
I mean, it's a very good question, and it's theoretically possible because I am not a brain doctor. You know, and again, the science is the real science now. Neuroscience is still young, and we don't know. And because I'm not a douchebag like the people I argue with, I'm open to being wrong. I'm open to science advancing to the point where they can make actual scientific studies and actual hypotheses that make sense in a scientific way, not drawing leaps and conclusions, making leaps. If it comes to that and we say it, then I'll go, you know what? I was wrong. I'll do it live on the air. I'll apologize to everybody I insulted. So it's theoretically possible, but I will tell you, it's not probable, and there is no scientific data to research to back that up. And not saying 30% of them are left-handed, that's not going to fly with me, or that they have less white matter, or that they're shorter and have lower IQ. That's not. You're going to have to give me a lot more than that. You just are.
Can I tell my strep analogy? Because I think that helps.
I've talked enough, I think.
The way we work, and I say we as in Jake and I, and I don't know, I'm interested to hear where you stand too, Susie, is that we believe in a little bit of both. But, for instance, with strep, I have never had strep in my life. I've been a teacher. I've been a preschool teacher. I've had
strep.
Everyone with strep. I've never had it because you have to be prone to having strep, to getting strep to get it. And I've been exposed to it so many times that there's no way I think I will ever get it because I'm not prone to it. Now, Jake is prone to strep. He's had it many times. If someone walked in the room with strep, he's going to get it. Well, that's because his body is prone to it. Okay, so we believe the science part of it, that there can be a predisposition, but you have to have the virus there too. You don't just magically get strep. It doesn't just, you're prone to it, and then you have to have the virus. So we think maybe, true, these people are prone to it because they're left-handed, which sounds so genius, but maybe they're prone to it because they're left-handed, and then they have to be fucked or raped or something to trigger the actual abuse to other people.
Okay.
We're not saying
great.
Every person that gets abused, which is everyone's misconception with us, we do not think every person that gets abused becomes an abuser. We think every abuser has been abused.
Yes.
And
okay.
when we say every, we mean 99%. There is that one person that may just seriously be cracky wacky, but...
There might be, like, a pedo that's just born pedo. There might be, like, one or two of them. But even then, at the end of the day, like I always say when you have a debate, there's always exceptions to the rule. And if we're going to focus on this is what the psychology that I find in my opponents so fascinating. Continually, when I get in these debates, the people that take the other side of the debate will focus on the exception. And I think... Like, you have to psychologically be very, or whatever, you have to be very dishonest with yourself to make the argument from the exception point of view, because it doesn't matter. I mean, people are born with tails. There's people born with three eyes. You know what I mean? Like, just because people are born with tails occasionally doesn't mean that, you know, everyone, you know, that they're fucking dinosaur. I mean, I can't even come up with an analogy. Forget I said anything. That was stupid. The point is, there may be, you know, a pedo born... That's not made. It may happen, but it's so minuscule, and it doesn't take away the root of this real debate, which is if you neglect or abuse or beat a kid's spirit, he will grow up or she will grow up dysfunctional. That's science.
And it's acted out in different ways. Not all abusing people. They might have used themselves, cutters, druggies, alcoholics, whatever, and some turn out to be abusers.
we all are fucked up, and that's the Jake Penner Show. This is the Tony thing. It's like, you know, life is hard. Shit happens. Some of us get hurt along the way. It's how you deal with your pain. Your reaction to your experiences determines your life. So if there is an exception, if there is someone born pedo, it doesn't matter. The point is you still have to focus on the 99%. That's the real world. Focusing on the exception is a waste of time. Let's talk about the fact that most people that are abusive or dysfunctional were abused or raised in a dysfunctional environment themselves. Why is that so scary for everybody? Why does that terrify people so much? When I talk about depression, the people that get mad at me, they're the people on fucking depression meds. The people that get mad at me in this pedo debate have been sexually abused. It's true. So when you're upset about somebody saying, hey, let's treat kids better so they don't grow up to be fucking criminals and maniacs, when you draw exception to that, when you start focusing on minuscule signs, when you start taking leaps and bounds like left-handed this, you don't even see right then your reaction to go that way is very telling about how you view the world. Because it says you want the world to be explained in a neat and tidy way because you can't handle how shitty it is. That's how I view it. And again, I said I'm an empath and a genius and a psychic. This is how I view it. It's too terrifying for people.
It is terrifying, but here's the reason we don't, I have an issue with it being a science of nature completely, and it's because of statements like this, where they say pedophiles are good people who are struggling. This is from a doctor, his name's Fred Berlin, a psychiatrist who leads the Johns Hopkins Sexual Behaviors Consultation Unit. They're tortured souls fighting the heck not to do this. You know, I don't have that kind of sympathy for these people, and I think making it a science issue takes away the monstrous part of their brain. They should die. That's my ultimate conclusion. You think about fucking kids, go shoot yourself. Go hang yourself. Go do whatever you got to do to not fuck kids because there's no cure. That's the other problem with this science method. There's also no cure. We've cut their balls off, and they still go take medicine to give themselves erections to go rape kids.
That's a very good point.
Playing devil's advocate, though.
Here, I want to hear devil's advocate.
Whenever I was looking through, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, just let me say real quick, like, I come on this show and talk about personal responsibility and not neglecting your children, which is a very beautiful message. My opponent, this pervy doctor, will start, you know, he'll take a little bit of science, like the left-handed thing, make a huge leap and bound, and then he starts projecting personality traits on study, which is not scientific, once again. To sit here and say there are normal people in pain, that's not scientific. You've never seen a scientist, when they study people, ever add or project emotional feelings on those people. They don't say, oh, they're good. They don't do that. They say, participant A is 6'1", has this, respond to the medication this way. They don't go, they're normal people in pain. That's very telling. Now, he's a scientist. He's a doctor, so more people are going to be prone to believing him because most people, you know, are so blinded by the PhD or whatnot. But he's actually showing a lot of sympathy for pedophiles, which to me is a red flag. I would not be surprised if this guy, in 5 or 10 years from now, was caught in a pedophilic fucking act. Or if we search his computer, there wouldn't be boys in tight little swimsuits. It would not surprise me. He's very telling about it, and that's the thing. I am not a doctor, so nobody's going to listen to me, and they're just going to listen blindly to the doctor. And it's very creepy what he says. Just read that one sentence, Jen, if you have it.
The one that says they're tortured souls fighting
this. Yeah.
They're good people who are struggling. I mean, I want to hear what Susie has to say as devil's advocate as well, but do you think they're good people who are struggling, Susie?
Well, I think that using the term monster is also kind of emotionally driven. And is, you know, based on our protective nature as parents or family members or whatever. And so I kind of don't like the language on either side. I want to know more about, like, I mean, it sounded like when you guys were talking to people online on Twitter this week about it, that some of the issue was that some people thought they could be rehabilitated and you guys were like, screw them, they can't be, it's hopeless. And I guess I wanted to encourage that dialogue a little more.
That's an excellent point, Susie. See, you can't leave the show.
You're stuck with me.
I will say, if you draw my theory out, which is these are beautiful, innocent children born on the planet. I think all children are born innocent. I do. It's my philosophy. You don't have to agree with it. It's just my philosophy. And through the way the blender of life happens changes us. So I do not think it's impossible to rehabilitate a pedophile. In fact, if you listen to me, I'm saying it's emotional and it's dealing with abuse. If you can catch them young and get them in therapy talking about it, I'm convinced you can get them over it. I don't look at it like sexual orientation. It's not like homosexuality where you're born that way. There's nothing in our nature that is... Kids are not attractive. There's mm-hmm. nothing sexy about a child. And there's a new form Jen was tweeting out yesterday where people are fucking infants. There's nothing sexy about a baby.
Yeah, so right.
I mean, they shit and puke on themselves, for Christ's sake. So it's not... I don't believe it's sexual... I mean, really, how can you argue it's sexual orientation when it's a child? There's nothing sexual about a child. So it has to be something else. It has to be power. It has to be abuse. It has to be about hurting them. It has to be about destroying innocence. Those are emotional responses. So I can draw out from that and go, okay, this is why I believe they're abused, by the way. Not because I'm friends with pedos and talk to them. It's just the very act of fucking a kid is emotional, okay, in my theory. So if you can catch them young, get them to deal with the anger, if they've been molested or beaten or whatever, I think you can cure them. Jen and I do disagree on this. As far as
Jen, what do you think?
Well, I think, okay, it's like an alcoholic, and you know about alcoholics, so
yeah.
you can go to therapy, and it's intense. Like, you have to face demons and be honest, which is hard for both pedophiles and alcoholics, and I think that type of intensive therapy can prevent a lot. But as with alcoholism, I believe there's relapses in almost everybody's life, and I don't think there's room for relapse with these people. And how many pedophiles come forward? Like, all these people, like, hardly any pedophiles actually perpetrate. Who, I mean, do you know anyone who's ever said, I'm a pedophile, but I don't touch children? Like, who's admitting this? Like, where do we get that data is where I'm really curious. Like, how do they know that only, like, 4%, like, these numbers come out of people's ass, I think, only 4% of pedophiles actually touch a child. And I'm thinking, really? Like, so this other 96% has told you they don't touch children? Like, I don't know anyone that would ever admit that unless it's, like, some struggling Christian, like, guilt-ridden father who's ready to fuck his kid finally goes to therapy and says, oh, my gosh. But I don't see that happening where we could get that accurate data. So I do think it can happen, and I think there'd be relapse, and I don't think it's fair to risk that with children.
Yeah, because when they relapse,
what do you think we
not
should
like
do,
a six-pack is bought. It's
I mean, what I think we should do can't happen, so it's not realistic. I have no problem with someone saying, I want to fuck kids, and I shoot them in the face. Like, no problem. I have no attachment, like, no issue with that. And it's mostly about protecting children. It's also about the fact that, like that doctor said, they're tortured souls. Like, the scientific community is actually less humane than we are, because Jake, especially, who's saying there's hope and maybe, you know, with all this therapy we could do this, they're saying there's no cure. It's a sexuality. It cannot go away. We've tried, you know, chemical castration, physical castration. We've tried this, 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 and this. All we can do is teach them impulse control. So they're living a life of not getting to fuck who they want. They think it's love, like in their sick little heads.
Yeah.
They think
well,
it's a relationship
real clear too,
and love.
There's child abusers that, like, just, I should have been clear about this. Like, there are people that just fuck kids because they're just, you know, want to hurt a kid. And then there's the pedo, which is, the quote-unquote, the sexual orientation, like NAMBLA, like the National Association for Man-Boy Love and Ancient Greeks, who think there is this sort of man-boy soul connection, and they really are loving about it. Like Michael Jackson, for real. Like, they'll have you stay over, those Peter Pan, and we hang out, and we're friendly, and we talk. That's what a pedo really is. It's not just someone's like, hey, little boy, blah, 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 blah. You know, that was my diddle sound effect, by the way. Blah, blah, blah. So they'll get to know them. That's why it's a lot of times it's priests or coaches or things that Sandusky, listen to the voicemail Sandusky left on that voice answer machine. He even said, I love you. I mean, you know, if it is a sexual orientation and they really are just in love with these little boys, then Jen's right. Keeping them you know, even in a mental hospital is cruel. That would be like saying to me that I can never be with a woman. So in some ways, not only just killing them to protect kids, but killing them to put them out of their misery is actually more merciful. It's true, though. It got so quiet. And Jen, bring up your last point before we go to calls. You made the most brilliant point this week when we were preparing for the show, when I was like, well, I think it's possible and feasible. Let's say it is biological and it is a pedo gene. And they do develop a pill and then can cure these pedos, like what Dan was saying. And you said the funniest fucking thing to me. You're like, they can't even cure eczema or baldness.
Migraines. We haven't cured any of these. Well, and those are all can be genetic. Diabetes, cancer. How can we kill such a complex brain problem that we can't even touch the brain? Like, how can we can't fix your head, Jake? Your hair on your head. How do we fix a pedophile?
Exactly. And then, you know, they tried that with antidepressants, and look, everyone's fucking realizing now that the shit doesn't work. And not only that, they want to kill people more when they're on them. So. To sit there and go, well, it's theoretically possible. Yeah, you know what? It's theoretically possible that aliens will land tomorrow and we'll all be given gold, you know? But let's be real. They're not going to find it, and if they do, they're not going to develop a fucking anti-venom for it. It's just not, to think that, again, it's very telling about the people that would want that to happen. I say kill them. Jen says kill them, and I stand by that 100% of the time. Even if they are sad and wonderful people and upstanding citizens, kill them. Just fucking take them out and shoot them. Their
that's
mutations
crazy.
And their mistakes. I don't think that's crazy at all. Why is that crazy?
How are they helping society? How are they? They're hurting inside. They're tortured souls, according to scientists.
Susie, you're so cruel that you'd want them to live in pain.
What would you
want
to do with them, Susie? Before you know, Amy's on hold with the info, but I want to. Susie, what do you think should happen to pedophiles?
Pedophiles who act on it should be in jail, and pedophiles that don't. I would love for them to be rehabilitated.
Okay.
But we don't know who they are yet. I guess that's my problem. Is like we don't know who
but
they
like,
are
maybe
until
if,
they offend.
Maybe if, I know, but don't know where they can go. I mean,
yeah, there is. Then go to their local
let's
gun
say,
store right
let's
now.
Let's say Lincoln was born left. No, Susie. Lincoln's born left-handed. And he's a little bit shorter, and which we know he's not. He's huge. And his IQ is a little lower. And then they're like, you know what? He's probably going to be a pedophile. His makeup is pedophile makeup. I mean, what would you want to do with him?
Then I'd work on that with him.
You would raise him in a way.
What do you want me to do, kill him?
No.
A child
is a different class to me, just so you know. Just so you know, it's when they become adults and they want to fuck kids. That's when I draw the line. When they're kids and the abuses happen and they start having weird feelings at 15, 16, and they want to touch little kids, that's when I think they can be intervened with. So you find out your child's this way, what would you do?
Therapy.
Okay. I mean, these people want to give them medicine. They want to just teach them to control their urges. They don't want to get to the...
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to work.
Now, of course it's not. Thank you.
So why would they need therapy if they're born that way? I mean, what do you need therapy for? You just need to learn impulse control, like a shocker maybe when you go to reach for a kid or something.
Yeah, every time a little boy walks by, you just electrocute him when he looks at his butt. All right, let's get the call.
This is making me
want
to kill myself.
Well, the point we're making here, misguided, is that if you start prescribing to the it's biological and it can be fixed, what you're doing is you're actually defending a pedo, you're actually making it more troubling for a pedo, and you're flooding the system with pedos, which is really bad for kids. If you're like me and Jen, where we sound completely irrational and crazy, we're actually the most merciful and caring to pedos because we don't want them to live and suffer. And we
do wish they would kill themselves.
Well, I do if they're too far gone. But
you
I said again,
get out the firing squad.
I said they can be saved through therapy. I believe that. So I say give them therapy as a kid. I think you can. Right. I do think you can change it because I think it's from abuse. My theory saves pedos, helps pedos, and gets them off the street. I mean, everyone's mad.
What are you, a pedo? Are you a pedo protector, Jake?
Don't call me that or I will block you and cry. Oh, wait, no,
I'm
not.
Blog me.
All right.
Block me.
Let's get the calls, guys. Come on. This is ridiculous. All right, Amy, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Amy.
Hey.
Hi, Amy.
So, how are you, Jen?
Oh, it's Amy. Hey.
Yeah, it's me, Amy.
Oh, sorry.
So,
how can we help?
I have some data that, like, I mean, I think it kind of supports what you and Jen are saying, so Susie won't be so happy with me. But I don't know if you guys remember, you know, when we spoke before about my stuff, when I was, you know, having a nervous breakdown, trying to figure out if I was a sociopath or not, I was, you know, looking for somebody who could really give me that answer. And I stumbled across Dr. Jim Fallon, who is a neuroscientist at UC Irvine. And he spent, like, the last 20 years specifically studying sociopaths. And he studies the orbital cortex in the front of the brain. And what he says that he's found over the years is that people with low activity in the orbital cortex, like, they're generally freewheeling, you know, they don't, like, that supposedly is the part of the brain that controls ethical behavior, moral decision-making, impulse control, all of that.
That's why my forehead's so huge.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Dr. Fallon is that, like, I believe about, like, 10 years into his research, his mom sort of suggested, you know, you should really look into your dad's lineage because there's, like, all this murder and crazy stuff going on. Like, he's related to Lizzie Borden. Like, that's back in his thing, you know, whatever. So when he started looking into that stuff, and he decided at the same time to do brain scans on all of his family because I think, like, Alzheimer's or something like that runs in his family. So he was trying to see, you know, if his kids and all of these people would be, you know, like, predisposed to that. When he did those, he also did a brain scan of himself. And he tells this story about how one day he was going over research and he had the brain scans from his family in one pile and the brain scans from the sociopaths. And we're talking about, like, you know, like, the violent. He studies, like, the worst of the worst. And I'm assuming that pedophiles, you know, would fall under that category. So he's going through all these scans and he gets to one and the orbital cortex is missing and he's like, you know, what the hell? And he looks and it's his name. So it's his scan that he's looking at and he's missing the thing that he says that scientifically defines somebody as a sociopath. But clearly, you know, he is high functioning. He's a neuroscientist. He hasn't been violent in his life. He hasn't necessarily abused anybody. So when he found this, he started talking to his friends and his family, and they were like, yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of always knew that. You know, he had just kind of like not being able to connect to people, not having emotions, that type of thing. His kids thought that he was kind of, you know, prickly, I guess, but he wasn't a criminal. And he said, when he was asked, why do you think, you know, that you didn't end up killing people? And he said, it's because of how I grew up, because I was nurtured, because I had really good parents. They were supportive, they loved me, they encouraged me, and that's why I'm not a murderer. So, I mean, I think that's really telling, right? If a scientist is sort of looking for these things, and that he finds it in himself, and if he says, yeah, like, I think if I had been born into a family where I was abused or, you know, neglected or those kind of things were going on, I probably would be a violent offender. But because I was nurtured and loved, like, that's, you know, that it just didn't end up happening. So I think that's
great
no,
point.
I agree with that.
I mean, it's true, and that's what me and Jen were trying to say earlier with strep throat or the cocktail or whatever. It's that, you know, even if there is a scientific study to say your brain here does this, it's still going to be nurture that trumps it. It just is.
Right. Well, or it triggers
I'm so glad
it.
This guy's a scientist.
Triggers it.
You
yeah,
should
triggers
have
is a good word.
Triggers. It does. Like, again, if you take a left-handed kid who's a little sensitive, wussy kid who probably likes to draw, and a right-handed kid who's, like, awesome at math and football like myself, and you diddle both, I think probably the sensitive one's probably going to be a little bit, you know, hurt a little deeper. And so, but it doesn't mean you rape boys. It doesn't take that away.
Right.
All right, Amy. Sorry to hang up on you. I got so many other calls. I love you. You're
okay.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Amy.
Another doctor siding with us, Jen. Jeez, when will it end? All right, should I go to...
No, I agree with you. I just like to be balanced.
Well, you know what?
And that's why I like
to be
on here, too.
No, Susie, Jen and I are very emotional about this, and we do sense that. And
passionate
we do know that
is a better word.
We're assholes, let's be honest, Jen. We can be real dicks.
Passionate assholes, let's be that.
Whatever it is, we're assholes, and we're really mean to people, and we team up and bully them, and I do feel bad at times, but again, it just is a little infuriating when you come on Twitter and you go, hey, we shouldn't rape kids, and then all of a sudden people start throwing bullshit science at you to try and counteract that. Shouldn't everybody go, yeah, let's not rape kids, that sounds good, I think we can all agree on that. All right,
and
I'm gonna
we
go to school.
Get called stupid. You know, like, we're not sitting there saying, I mean, Jake does, I guess, but I don't sit there and say they're stupid. It's just that some things don't make sense, you know, but for us to say, mm-hmm. oh, if someone is raped, that you might rape people later, that's not, we're saying everybody, we're saying they have been probably, then that's stupid. Like, how does that not make sense to people that an abuser was once abused? I just don't understand, like, how that cannot make sense, that it's just innate. I would much rather it not be innate, like, oh, my gosh, I'm born this way, I cannot fix it,
yeah.
than I was hurt and broken and I became this way, I need to fix it.
Right. And it's very telling. I mean, again, it's very, very telling who, what side of this debate you're on, because I would argue you, if you're defending a pedo and you think you're empathetic to him, because it must be so hard to be a pedo these days. That's not empathy. There's something about you that's drawing you to that place that you should really look into. Empathy is, how do we protect these kids? How do we protect kids? That's when your empathy is functioning properly. All right, let's go to Miss Black Dahlia. I don't know who's been a hold longer, but she's been a hold long enough, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. Is that what you want me to call you, Black Dahlia?
Sure.
Okay, you don't want me to say your real name? Because I know your real name.
Can we call her Blackie?
No.
Blackie. Okay,
you can call
Blackie.
Now, when you were talking about being, like, sexually attracted to children, and one of those studies that I sent you guys, there was them they were talking about how not all sexual attraction of actual children, you know, is wrong, that a true pedophile must prefer children to the exclusive adult. That it's normal for somebody who's never seen a naked person before to be, you know, aroused by a naked teenager.
Because they have mature bodies, you mean?
No, like even just regular, just teenage girls, that it's normal. Like even
I think it's normal for, like, if Jake looked at a teenage body that had boobs and stuff, to, I think that's way more normal in the sense... for him to go and want to have sex with her, that's where it becomes gross, if
yeah.
he knows she's a 13-year-old. But, of course, I've heard that's the hardest time. I told Jake this. That's the hardest time for men as dads, for one, when their teenage daughters bring their teenage friends over because they have all these confusing feelings of, oh, my gosh, that's a hot chick. Oh, wait, shit, that's a kid my kid's age. It's natural to be attracted to someone that looks like a woman.
Oh,
it's not natural.
Let me
yeah,
tell you, it's
and it's
hard.
Not natural to
so
be attracted
hard.
To people that don't look like women. Hard
it's
either.
So hard. Literally. No, I mean, what's your point, Blackie? I didn't understand.
I was just saying that in those people, like the scientists or the quote-unquote science, were saying
well,
that it's normal to be attracted to, you know, children, apparently.
Right.
And
okay,
then,
so you're saying it creeps you out, too.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay.
They shove their balls chopped off and stapled to their face. But the other thing that I wanted to say was, you were talking about how you don't really acknowledge, well, not really acknowledge, but you don't really believe that it's, like, matter or anything like that, that you think,
well,
you know, people just want to diddle children.
It's not that I don't, again, it's like the, it's the determinant, like the Indian with alcohol, like there might be different brains. We're all born different. But again, if you have a psycho brain, like Amy, who just called in her doctor, if you're raised in a proper environment, you won't be a psychopath. You won't hurt people. You may not know right from wrong, you know, in your heart or whatever the psychopathic fucking side effects are, but that doesn't mean you're going to go and hurt people. You might just,
yeah.
like, here's how I look at it. People go, oh, sociopaths, you know, they go out and they fucking kill a bunch of people, and then we go, well, they don't know right from wrong. It's like, you don't even have to really understand right from wrong to know not to kill people. First of all, it's illegal. And second of all,
yeah.
everyone around you is telling
so
you don't,
so fucking
hey.
Children, but
yeah.
people are
so,
trying to make that okay.
Well, they're trying to say it's a sexual orientation to be attracted to a six-year-old boy's ass, and it's not, there's, again, there's nothing, or a girl, well, I don't know. There's nothing sexual. I'm just kidding. There's nothing sexual about a prepubescent child. I don't see how anyone could say, oh, that's their sexual orientation. We're not talking about, like, an attractive sexual person with, you know.
No, you're talking about, like, babies and toddlers who are running
yeah.
around picking their nose and, like, shitting on themselves. Like, that's
yeah.
not a turn-on.
at all.
No, it's and not. My whole, nothing sexy about it.
And that freaking organization, the Pedophiles Who Love Babies, like, one of the stories was, I was molested and happy. Like, what is fucking wrong with you?
Yeah.
Seriously, what is wrong with you? But did you see the case study that I sent about the 40-year-old teacher in Virginia? He had no history of sexual deviance, and apparently he started being interested in child pornography, and it was resulted from a tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And he had the tumor removed, and then it started growing back, so the lack of, you know, self-control started coming back.
Which is fascinating, and again, I think that speaks more on my side of the argument, although most people hear the tumor and go, oh, it's science, and science messes with your brain. Look, Jake. But I'd never argued that, like, a tumor growing in your brain, or if you took a fucking drill and drilled to your skull, that you wouldn't start doing weird shit. But that's an outside influence after you're born, and therefore it falls under environment and it falls under nurture. It's something directly from the outside affecting your brain. It's not prenatal. A tumor is not like, you don't have a gene for a tumor. And you know what I mean? Like, a lot of, and they don't even know what causes tumors. Again, this science shit, you know? Like, he could be on a cell phone by his head for 10 years every day, and it gives him a brain tumor, like Jen's giving to her kids because she's always on Twitter with her baby. And let's say he's got this brain tumor, and now he wants to fuck kids. It's like, that doesn't make the science argument. That makes my argument. Like, don't put a fucking cell phone by your head for 10 years. All right, Blackie. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Did all the
thank
research
you,
this
and
week.
Thanks for all and your Jen. Work, yes.
Of course.
Quit trying to make me look bad. Only find research that I agree with in the future. Don't try and
have that. All right,
thank
bye,
you.
Guys.
Bye. Bye, Blackie. All right, Arm, you're on the phone.
Hey, yeah, wow.
Hey.
Hi, Arm.
How's it going, John and Susie and Jake?
Hello.
How are you?
Great. Good, wow. Yeah, this show's a lot deeper than I thought it was going to be, but I'm glad I tuned in.
That's the Jake Pentland Show. It's always deeper than people think it's going to be.
Right, I'm on
that was not a sex joke or anything. I'm sorry. So, you just wanted to compliment? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on an iPhone. I'm on the East Coast, so I got to kind of hurry up a little bit. But, no, it is a lot deeper than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was, you know, at first just going to be the jokes that I guess on Twitter I heard just the, you know, Michael Jackson jokes and Ronan and Mia and that kind of stuff. But it is very deep what you guys are talking about. And I understand what you're saying about the, you know, the neurology and everything. And I think it goes hand in hand with depression in the sense that there is a depression that's emotional that people see psychologists and stuff about. And there's also a depression that comes from neurons and in your brain, and that even if you are the happiest or you have the best conditions in the world, let's say, you can still be depressed or clinically depressed because of depression. And I think there are, you know, tools in terms of medication and therapy that can help you out with these things. However, this does not give you the excuse to go out and practice pedophilia. And that's why I was very surprised that people were defending it, and that's why I didn't realize that was there were people defending it, and that's why I thought this show wasn't going to be this, was more of a joke, because I didn't realize people were actually defending it. And I would think that if they had these thoughts in their head and that these thoughts were that strong, then that would be a case where you would try to seek help, and that, you know, these thoughts are wrong, therefore seek the help that you need, because society more or less kind of dictates that this is wrong, and you would struggle with these thoughts, but you'd go to someone who could help you with this, whether it be medicine or therapy, to try to relate to this and realize, why am I having these thoughts that are not, you know, not only not productive, but are just, scary.
And then they
should, like, not even...
They should kill themselves, sorry. Right? That's what you're... And then
kill is a strong word, but I would just think that, you know, before acting on that, you know, there must be something, because I think what Jen was talking about, the thoughts racing through their heads, or those strong thoughts. I mean, that there must be, and I'm not saying lobotomy even, but just something. And I've tweeted you with your mother about this, just turning those negative thoughts into positive, and she's, you know, a big fan of that, actually, taking negativity and that those bad thoughts and turning them around and using them for positive energy, and they don't know if that's how you feel about that, but just something. But in no way, shape, or form do I agree with any kind of science saying that pedophilia is okay, or that you can actually, you know, go ahead and excuse it by a means of science. That's just ridiculous. It's,
all right. Well, then we do agree. As far as the depression, I don't want to get off on a tactic, but it's obvious you've never heard my shows on depression, so I'm gonna send you some links because I don't want to go off the digress. So I'm gonna take a couple other calls.
Two other points too, I could really quick. One is that where does bestiality fall in with all this as well too?
It's a good question.
Because it seems like if you're talking about the pedophilia in that sense, bestiality would be somewhere in there as well. And
I think it's more like a fetish. I think bestiality is a fetish. I don't think they're truly attracted to a cow as they hump it. Or do they have a relationship with it? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the difference. Pedophiles, it's to them, or to science, it's a sexual preference, much like heterosexual.
So this is more of a psychological. This is more of the psychological.
I think bestiality is a fetish, yeah. And, you know, because the animals can't talk back, so you really can't have a relationship with an animal.
Actually, you probably have a better relationship if they don't talk back. Let me tell you, Arm. Thank you for your call. God, I would love that. Maybe I'm gonna try an animal so they shut the fuck up. Brody, our favorite caller, is on the air.
Yay.
Everybody.
Hi there. I just wanted to say, does anyone else see the irony in you guys doing a show on pedophiles and me bagging your screener for a dick pic?
Eli,
of
come
course
on.
I was cut down by him.
No, let me do this, because you're still 17. That's actually not pedophilia, Eli. Eli, you're there.
He's just an asshole.
He won't come on.
He's
you can
doing
talk
sound
with sound
effects,
okay.
And that's it.
Eli, you can talk. You can answer with sound effects. Are you going to send Brody a picture of your penis for his 18th birthday? I don't know if that's a yes.
But
James, but yes,
I'll
I'm sorry, Brody.
For Eli, that's a no.
That's a no for Eli. All right. Sorry, Brody.
For now, not while he's 17, at least.
Aw. The reason I called in was because, is Susie still on the line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Susie, I think, said a few moments ago that pedophiles that act on it should be sentenced to prison or go to prison.
Yeah.
And that don't should be rehabilitated. But what I sort of equate pedophilia to, I don't want to say, sorry, this is just a little confusing, but it's sort of like when people say, like people are able to pray the gay way or whatever. I think pedophilia, I think people are born with that, you know, those desires. So I don't think you're able to rehabilitate anyone that, you know, wants to fuck children. So
you think,
I think
it's hopeless?
Yeah, I think they're hopeless, and I think they should be killed.
Where's the applause button, Eli?
Well, see, Brody's actually on the other side of this argument, you know, saying they can't be rehabilitated because it's like sexual orientation.
No, I think
disagreeing, but
like
he still wants them killed. I'm sorry, what?
No, it's like people are born heterosexual, people are born homosexual, people are born, you know, pedophiles. I do think people are born that way. I don't think they're choosing to, you know, want to fuck children, but since they do, they should be killed, whether they act on it or not, because you're not going to be able to help them, and you're not going to be able to rehabilitate them.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, Brody. It's like, in the nature of the debate, you're on the opposite side, but we are agreeing on the most important thing, which is the solution, which is to murder them. So I'm happy. See, the Jake Pennant Show brings things together. Even if you're on the other side of the debate, we can all agree that pedos should die.
Why, you think people choose? You think that's a choice?
Not
that
they become from being, well, see, remember our main stance on this, the one that, like, gets everyone so heated, is that we believe they are abused. We believe that if for someone that rapes children, they were raped as a child.
And so
but
that's not necessarily
that,
a choice.
Do we know that 100% sure that
no,
everybody that's ever diddled a child?
No, never
you know.
Do you know anything 100%.
None of us really honestly know anything, to be honest. But it is a podcast.
Actually, nothing.
No, I mean, we don't know. That's the thing. That's why we're having this debate, Brody. We don't know the cause. I'm just saying, you know, it just, I do know that
the cause
the 9 months
is irrelevant. It doesn't matter how they became that. It just matters that they are that, and something needs to be done, and I think the best solution is to blow their brains out. I don't think taxpayer money should be wasted on them going to prison.
I love you, Brody.
And if they are going to prison... Oh, never mind. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if they are going to prison, then I think they should be the ones that are, you know, ass-raped or, you know, that be tortured, I guess. And I probably sound
and
like
they
a
will
psychopath.
Be. They will be.
Saying.
Yeah.
Prison's even a worse life, too. That's what we're saying. We're the humane ones wanting to kill them. You put a pedophile in prison, they're going to get raped a lot.
No, but they get meals and stuff in prison. I think what they should do is, like, if we are going to put them in prison, they should be given a slice of bread and a tiny bit of water each day. Or really inhumane things done to them.
Due to timing, we did have to cut this show down. If you guys want to hear the full show, you can go back to September 7th, the Jake Pentland Show, and hear the show in its entirety. It's actually a full 74 minutes long, so you guys